Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Well, hello. Hey, so Michael's going to join me here pretty soon, but I wanted to get going. I know we're a little late on this, but the guys have a lot going on. So bear with me, and we will get it going here. First off, let's say a quick prayer here. Loving Heavenly Father, please watch over us. Please guide us in our conversation today. Help us to give you proper glory, proper credit. The glory is already yours. And thank you for the time that we get to spend together today. Amen. Okay, so today I want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. There's a lot going on right now. And we could talk about a lot of different things. We could talk about Afghanistan. We could talk about China. We could talk about what's going on in our own country. Mandates, edicts, whatever. But really at its base level, this all starts with what is spiritual. And we can see a lot of that in Revelation. Okay, what's going on in the spiritual realm really manifests itself in the physical. And because of that, I'd like to read a little bit of a story for you. Maybe not so much reading. I'm going to tell a lot of it, kind of paraphrase, because I don't want to take too long. Slow reader. So our story comes out of 2 Kings chapter 6, and this has to do with Elisha, not Elijah. I know most of us are familiar with Elijah, but this is Elisha. Okay, he is Elijah's protege, I guess. Kind of handed over his prophetic gifts, so to speak, to Elisha when Elijah went to heaven. Now here in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, we find that the Syrian army is out to get the Israelites here. And Elisha keeps getting these plans that are being discussed in the king of Syria's bedroom. God tells him these plans. And Elisha turns around and he tells the king of Israel these plans, saying, hey, Syria is going to do this maneuver or that maneuver. And so Israel is always prepared for this. Now, the Syrian army is much bigger and better prepared, but when you already know the moves of the enemy before they do them, you're going to have a heck of an advantage, right? So that's where we're at here. And Syria's king is getting a little bit ticked about this, as you can probably imagine. And so he talks to his servants here. And his servants are telling him, Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your own bedroom. So naturally, the king of Syria says, hey, okay, cool. Let's get this guy Elisha then, because that's not cool. We're going to deal with this guy. So I'm going to read a little bit here now. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. This is the city where Elisha lives, okay? Called Dothan or Dothan or something like that. And when the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And so he ran back in. Says, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, Elisha did, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, what is he talking about here? So Elisha prayed. And this part's pretty cool. So Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Okay, so here we have them being surrounded by this Syrian army. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Quigley Down Under, okay, this reminds me of that, because there's a part in the movie where toward the end there, Matthew Quigley is surrounded by these Australians who their plan is to kill him. And a wind picks up and suddenly on the horizon, on the hilltops, all the way around him, you see these Aborigine tribesmen. And so this kind of reminds me of that scene from that movie, right? So here's the Syrian army surrounding Elisha and his servant. And then Elisha prays that his servant's eyes are opened. And once they're open, his servant can see these, it doesn't give a number, I'm sure it was too much to count, but these soldiers of God, right? And these angelic host that are with their chariots of fire. And so the servant gets to see for a minute there, just for a minute, what the prophet Elisha has seen. And it goes on that, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So that's pretty awesome, right? So here we have this military might surrounding them. And all Elisha has to do is pray, God, strike them with blindness. And they're blind. I really believe we are spiritually surrounded by the Syrians right now. And I'm not talking about Syria where Putin is king right now. That's not what I mean. But I truly believe that we are surrounded by the enemy. And the enemy's having a bit of a heyday. I think believers need to have their eyes open to see the fact that the heavenly armies surround them. See, if you've read the end of the book, you know how it all ends. And it's in our favor. Right now, we are fighting a defeated foe. Okay, Satan was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. He tried to tempt Jesus, didn't work. So finally, he had to kill Jesus. Thought he had won, right? Thought there was this victory. The enemy had surrounded them. But then, 3 days later, the grave was found to be empty. And more than 500 witnesses were told saw Jesus alive and well. It didn't work. Yeah, he killed him. But he was perfect. Jesus, who was without sin, conquered the grave. And so now we can see that the hills around us, and I'm looking at a hill right now is why I'm looking past the camera. I'm looking at a hill outside my house, and I can just imagine these heavenly armies surrounding the enemy. Now, there are times in the Bible, like in Daniel, where we see that as Daniel is praying to God regarding their captivity, he's praying to God and waiting for an answer. And several days had passed. I think it was something like 21 days or something like that. Several days had passed. And he still hadn't received an answer from the Lord. And then finally, this angel shows up. And I don't believe that the angel's given a name in this particular passage. But an angel shows up and talks to Daniel. And we get a little bit of a glimpse as to what actually goes on in the heavenly realms. Okay, because this angel tells Daniel that he was held up by the, and I don't remember what he called him, but the sort of like a prince of Persia, I think is what he calls him. The prince, yeah, I believe it's the prince of Persia. And in that, we can understand that even the enemy has a structure, okay? Sort of like a military type structure over throughout the world. And so there's a prince of the United States right now, I'm sure, who is demonic, who tries to manipulate our leadership, okay? And in this case, it was Persia. And so this demonic entity was trying to hold back this angel from bringing a message to Daniel. And after not too long, this messenger of the Lord received backup, in essence. And then we also get another glimpse in, I believe it's in Jude, actually, where there is some fighting over, and I don't know why exactly, but there's some fighting with Satan over the body of Moses after he had died. And in this one, we see that here it is. So Jude chapter 9, Jude verse 9. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" So here again, we have another battle in the spiritual realm between Michael and Satan over the body of Moses. Now, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because Moses is going to be one of the two witnesses who returns to us in the tribulation period or what it is. Looks like Michael just joined us. Hi, Mike. Waiting for the audio.
What's up, young man?
Oh, there you is. You're out wheeling and dealing. That's what you're doing.
Hey, I'm selling.
Catch you up real quick. So I talked about Elisha and the Syrian army surrounding them, and then his servant's eyes being opened to see the much larger heavenly host, right, in their chariots of fire. And then I talked real quick about, because, you know, we're dealing with some spiritual warfare here, I talked real quick about how Daniel, when he was pleading with God, when he was praying before God, it was like 21 days, I think it was, before he received an answer. And that was because the messenger was held up by this prince of Persia, right? The demonic force mm-hmm. that was over Persia. And then I just now talked about in Jude where Michael contested with Satan over the body of Moses and his, instead of, you know, bringing some accusation or fighting him with his own words, he said, "The Lord rebuke you." So that's where I'm at right now. And that's kind of what I wanted to discuss, was that what we're seeing here in the physical realm really is just a manifestation of what's going on in the spiritual, and how we're seeing some gnarly spiritual warfare going on right now.
I'm going to let you keep talking, man.
Are you ready for this?
I'm going to let you. Are you doing pre-workout? Is that why you're all amped up?
It's sort of like that, but it's not. I can't do the pre-workout. It gets me all jittery. Yeah. I'm sensitive.
I think you're taking some pre-workout there, my friend.
No, it's just hot chocolate.
I am actually, I mixed some. Now that it's blanked on me. Mountain.
Dew?
Not Mountain Dew. Mountain something. They put some, man, I forgot. I used to when I was working night shift. Early mornings where it's like, it's got like beta alanine in it. It's like, it's mocha flavored.
Oh, nice.
But it's got like all kinds of pre-workout stuff in it too.
Yeah, you don't seem much like a Mountain Dew kind of guy, but.
No. I did when I was younger. I think I was chunky like the kid from Sandlot. Oh,
nice. Nice. Anyway.
I'll let you keep talking, and if something comes up to my head, I'll chime in.
Well, even Amir Sarfati. So Amir is he's an Israeli and he's in the ministry. I was listening to him recently, and he even said that, you know, he's been to the United States multiple times. And this time he said, there is just a different feeling and it's spiritual. Something is going on. Mm-hmm. This country is under attack. Now I love this country, but I have accepted the fact that God is causing us to lift our eyes. You know, I know I've got this, I have this flag, right? But God's causing us to lift our eyes. You know what I mean?
To the cross.
To the cross. Because regardless of how much we love this country, the world has gotten in the way of the cross. Now, the world is our battlefield right now, right? I mean, but it's still spiritual. And I think we need to be soldiers for Christ. And I'm not saying give up the fight for your country. I'm saying there is no fight for your country without doing spiritual battle first.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says seek first his kingdom, not the United States. And in seeking his kingdom, though, you know, we talked about this many times in the past, is how does the United States play a role in end times and in prophecy? And we can probably go on just that topic alone for quite a while. But, you know, we know that in the Bible, United States is technically not mentioned, right? I think there might be a little reference to the little lion, something to that degree.
Yeah, it says, yeah, you're right.
There's that little lion. So where...
Oh, the young lions there. Yeah.
Yes. Where I've been encouraging others, and really for myself, is keep your hands on the plow. You know, be busy about ministry, irregardless of what's going on in the world, you know. And I'm reminded of Mary Magdalene in the Bible, in the Gospels, where, you know, she would come at the noon hour to draw water. Jesus sends the disciples to go get some tacos. You know, and he knew that he was going to have a divine appointment with Mary Magdalene. And it's funny how, you know, they have this dialogue, you know, and if those of us, if you don't know this story, you gotta go to the book of John or Google on your phone, Mary Magdalene, read about her. Mary Magdalene recently kind of reminds me of the United States, you know, like allegorically. You know, symbolically, because Mary Magdalene was demon possessed, right? The guys that she's lived with, you know, she's married and divorced, and Jesus says, "Hey, the guy that you're living with right now is not your husband."
That wasn't
Mary Magdalene, but I mean, where, you know, Mary at the water well was like saying, you know, her conversation changes when she realizes like Jesus is not your ordinary guy that she's dealing with, because obviously he's called them out on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And and this is just a thought in my head, is the woman at the well, not Mary Magdalene, the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The woman at the well was called out by the Lord for having relationships that weren't not only right in society, but it wasn't right with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in many ways, we as a country have done away with the spouse in the sense of, I was listening to Sean Hannity's book, Live Free or Die, or something like that, to a degree. And he was talking about how our nation was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles and all this stuff, right? As a nation, we've become like the woman at the well in the book, Gospel of John, where, you know, we've done away with, you know, that the marriage partnership, that relationship that's supposed to work. And it's, we've, you know, we've taken prayer out of schools, you know, we've taken Jesus and God out of a lot of stuff. And where I'm just kind of wondering, our country is like, you were mentioning how Amir Safati said, every time he's come back to United States recently, it's been different, you know? And, you know, when anybody that goes through multiple different relationships, it changes you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And with our country having gone through so many different wacky administrations, it changes the country.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's almost like we're married to that instead of being married to Christ. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. the church is supposed to be the bride of Christ, but instead we've given that up for being married to whatever administration or movement or social justice or whatever it is instead of,
you yes. know. And that's what I'm trying to get at is, you know, are we as a nation addicted to our gods, small g,
mm-hmm.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you know, Snapchat, the left's agenda, the right's agenda, or whatever it might be. We're married to whatever nonsense, the cause. You know, there are Christians that are like pro vaccination. You know, there are Christians that are against vaccination and on, there's such a huge divide now, you know, and it's almost like we've talked about this in the past. It's like the world stage is being kind of set, so to speak. And instead of being married and being married to one person only, you go through, you know, a separation or a divorce and you open yourself up to other relationships. You know, it's like the saying in the garden, did God really say? And I think there's that, how can I say it? There's, you know, thinking of the woman at the well, I don't know why I was thinking Mary Magdalene, that's a whole different thing. But thinking of the woman at the well.
You just wanted to give her a name.
Yeah. Give her a name. Should I call her Hoochie Mama?
There you go. You can call her.
When I get to heaven, she's going to slap me. What'd you call me? But if you think about it, this woman that has been married to 5 different husbands, right? And Jesus says, hey, the one that you're with, you're not married to this guy, right? How many of us, as individuals, go into so many different relationships that doesn't work out, right? Well, let's apply that to our counties, our cities, our states, and our country. And we're trying now to, you know, cancel this or cancel that, you know, everything's a cancel culture, you know? And there's no purpose in the United States, it seems like, anymore, you know? But the way I see it is But I also see the United States is also ripe to have an encounter at the well, like the woman at the well. You know, she was ready, in my opinion, to meet with Jesus, to have an encounter with him and have that discussion where, you know, she goes and calling him sir, calling him a prophet, then calling him Messiah. And then she goes back to, you know, her town and her country, come see a man who told me all things I did, right? And I think our country in many ways, as dire as it might seem, is also ready for another revival. Mm-hmm. You know, because why? People are still searching for truth. And like you pointed to the cross, right? Paul says in Corinthians, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that the churches are lacking today is they stop preaching Christ. They stop preaching the cross.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyways, that's my two cents.
Thank you for your pennies. So Revelation 2, chapter 4, or chapter 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Mm. So.
Repent, remember, do or redo.
To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. So I think we have left our first love, right? I mean, the United States started as a Judeo-Christian movement. It created the most powerful, wealthy nation the world has ever known. And we have left our first love. I really do think that it is that simple. And the only way to get back to it, remember, mm-hmm, and return. Remember, repent, return. The three R's. I think that's it. I don't think we have to belabor this. I think that's what we need. And it starts with each of us individually. It starts with me. Starts with Mike, Steve, and Josiah. We got to, you know, like you and I were talking a little earlier, we need to get backed away from the tree, which is whatever issue is bugging you the most, in order to see the forest, see the big picture. Get into the word and see what God's up to. And then see how you can be used in this battle.
I was just sharing with I'm going to try to keep this loosely as possible, not to name anybody. I was praying with some parents where their child has walked away from the Lord into a particular community. And, you know, my prayer was that their child, and you quoted the verse, and I wrote it in my text to them, that memories would flood their mind as a way to remember, right? And then to repent, you know, and to return, recommit, redo your first love. And I forget who the pastor was. Is it Jonathan Edwards, the preacher, who said that, you know, to draw a circle around yourself and set yourself on fire so that you can come other, see it, so that others can come see you burn. But Adam, you're right. We'll never have revival in our country unless we have personal revival individually, you know? And if we're not at that state to live for the Lord now, you know, having revival, what's to say that we're going to try to live for the Lord later? You know, and I realize I've been praying more and more for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, like Right before I jumped on, I got a refill of my Death Wish coffee in my Calvary Chapel mug. You know, because why? I love coffee and I love caffeine. But how simple is that? It's like, as a Christian, our lives could be drained just from working, being married, having kids. You're just busy. And how am I supposed to be used by God if I'm empty, if I'm depleted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll show it to you guys. I haven't showed it really to anybody else, but man, I got a brand new Bible, calfskin, and it's red, you know, and
that needs broken.
Oh yeah. You know, but I'm just so excited to dig into this, you know, and I'm like, and that's what I'm doing. I'm feeding on the Word of God so that I'm being filled, you know, and then praying for the Holy Spirit. And man, I encourage those of you brothers and sisters that wear the uniform or that's going to be listening to this later on. Man, every time you go out to work, you need to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you know, and because we all know cops and firefighters have potty mouths. They cheat on their spouses. They do drugs. They have call girls on the side, you know, and on and on and on, right? But then you're a Christian and you're like, I got to make an impact. Stop cussing. Stop gossiping. Stop doing stupid stuff that makes you look bad. Because why? When these people go through struggles, they need someone to look to. You're the written Word of God. You're this. Every single day that you put on the uniform, and other people that look at you who doesn't know the Lord and says, something's different about you. You know, something's different. And I think that's so important. It's so important because why? I've heard, and not to name anybody, but I've heard people say in uniform, oh, I'm a Christian. Cheating on their spouses at the station, doing drugs, doing alcohol, doing all kinds of stupid stuff. You know, cops getting drunk and driving. Getting pulled over for DUI. Oh no, I'm a cop, but it's okay. It's just like, no, you know, and revival is not going to happen in our country unless we have personal revival first, you know, and having personal revival from there, kind of like letting others see what's going on in your life. You know, I look at it as cooking bacon. You don't smell like bacon until you start cooking bacon. Because when you're cooking bacon, you smell like bacon. And people are going to smell you. They're like, man, you've been cooking bacon? Why? Yeah. Yes, I have.
And then they want bacon.
And they want bacon.
And that's the point.
And that's the thing. It's like when you're in the Word of God and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're cooking yourself, so to speak. You know? I mean, come on. Firefighters and cops all know when someone's high. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, because they've partaken of something. They let others know they've partaken of that. You know, I remember in Huntington Beach, I would go surfing. Some of my friends would be like, bro. And I'm just like, oh, what did you hit? They're like, bro. And but you would know they took a hit because of, you could see it in their eyes and you could see it in their speech. How much more Christians ought to track that? You know what I mean? Like Christians ought to be in the Word of God and in prayer and in the Spirit. Like when Moses came down, there was a glow about him, right? Just like Adam's couch he's sitting on, there's a glow about him. No more bench, I noticed.
Yeah, you like my...
There you go.
This is the most comfortable lawn chair you'll ever see.
There you go. But anyways, that's my 2 cents. You can't give out what you don't have. And if you don't feed on the Word of God and you're not being filled with the Spirit of God, how can you give God if you don't have it? And I'll leave this analogy. So before my mom died, when I was a little kid, I remember every time I hugged my mom, I think it was the pond cream. P-O-N-D, pond. And she would use that cream or whatever. and then whatever perfume she would use. And she would hug me and she would kiss me on my cheek and I would kiss her. And the last thing I remember after I hugged her was that scent. And I still am flooded with that in my mind of my mom. Man, how much more as believers, whether in uniform or out of uniform, that if I'm kissing the word of God and the Spirit is embracing me, that when I speak with others, there's something different about us, you know? And I think that's going to be what's attractive, and that's going to set individuals on fire for them, you know, when there's going to be repentance and revival in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Heavenly Father, please bless those who are listening. Give them direction. May the Lord lead you in this day, and may you be willing to be led. We ask that, Lord, that you would convict us of our sins, but never condemn us, because we are forgiven by the blood of your Son. We ask that those who are listening will repent, will return, and that we would see revival. Mm. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I want to encourage you folks, if you're looking for another podcast besides this one to check out, and that doesn't mean you get to stop checking out this one, but go check out Greg Amundsen. We've had Greg on here before. Greg is a phenomenal teacher, and he has more energy than anybody I've ever met. So he ought to get you fired up. And he's on Spotify. He's on, I believe, iTunes now. He's expanded his platform a bit. And so check out Greg. He's a very wise man who is a great teacher too. Aside from that, you know, like I said, got some new apparel in there if you want to check that out. I noticed the website was down for a minute. Got it back up and running. What do you got there, Michael?
Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.
There you go. Cool. Our job, according to the Bible, is to make disciples. It doesn't mean that you have to stand on the street corner and blast out your beliefs.
Don't do that.
Yeah. What it means is to live a life of faith, be the light so that others can see that there's something different about you. And it'll be attractive to them, and they'll want to know what you have and how can they get it. Okay, God bless. And until Cop Church, take care.